Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan. We trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Assalamu alaikum. Into the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the Community-Wide Shura Conference, and this is the broadcast of The Female Solution. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with Naima Latif, the executive director and producer of The Female Solution. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We look forward to a very enlightening, invigorating show this morning. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful for everyone that tuned in this morning. Praise be to Almighty God for you. I want to share with you an important public service announcement before we get the show on the road. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Attorney Edward Ahmed Mitchell, Executive Director of the Georgia Chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations and host of Care on Air, the Civil Rights Hour. I'd like to speak to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic, long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society, and that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? The public service message from the Community Wide Share Conference and AM 360.
And we are back. I am Kareem Hamid, one of the hosts, a host on the Female Solution. I'm opening up the mic of my co-host and colleague, Sister Naima Latif. I pray she's ready to broadcast this morning.
Yes, we are.
Assalamu alaikum, Naima. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. So grateful to be with you and the American Muslim 360 family as we broadcast simultaneously here along on our Facebook and YouTube channel, The Female Solution. And we've got some fantastic guests. And the topic today, we were listening to the PSA. It was so appropriate based on our topic today, which is how do you give emotional support to one who has had a traumatizing experience? And we've got a host of wonderful guests today. We're going to introduce them. And certainly for those who are listening in, we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1 on your phone dial that lights your number up on our switchboard and lets us know you have something to say. We've already got a caller that is press 1. We'll be coming to you shortly. And, of course, if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. So today, we want to get right into the issue. And one of the things that was said in the PSA we just listened to, people who are suffering domestic violence. And there are many people who are going through issues. And sometimes they need to turn to their family. You may have had a death of a loved one. You may be leaving an abusive relationship. You may have gone through a devastating financial crisis, the loss of a job. Well, all of us go through something. And when a child has suffered a loss, and for them, maybe divorce of a parent, maybe a serious injury, all kinds of things, even failing a grade at school. They're traumatized. And often when children act out, it's because they're going through grief and sadness or fear. But we tend to punish them when they act out because we don't understand their distress. And as adults, too often we're expected to just suck it up if we're going through a thing. Divorce is traumatizing. Domestic abuse is traumatizing. The death of a loved one, especially the sudden violent death of a loved one, whether a car crash or an act of violence, it's devastating. And sometimes, often, people don't know what to say Or we're expected to just suck it up or act like it's not happening and continue on with our lives. And you can't, nor should you feel like a failure if you don't. So how can we give emotional support to friends and loved ones going through a crisis? Well, joining us today, we have Kathy Ann Ellington, who is a grief counselor. We have Ariel Bragg, who's a wonderful young businesswoman. We've got Tatiana Vasquez, a crisis survivor. And we have Latoya Wiseman, who's founder of Woman on the Move. So we want you all to call in, comment, again, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1 to speak to the host and co-host, Naima Latif and Kareem Hamid. So that's our issue today. And for those who have been through a trauma, and we all have, I want to ask the question, what is it that you would have needed people to say to you during your time of crisis? And what are some things people said that were not helpful so that we could perhaps learn what not to say? So let me start out, Brother Kareem, with letting our guest Kathy Ann Ellington, the grief counselor, give us a little bit of an overview of what you do and why. Because so many people don't know how to handle grief or expect it not to even acknowledge grief. Yes. So give us your thoughts.
All right. First of all, good morning. Good morning to everyone. Good morning, Ariel. Good morning. Good morning, LaTanya. Good morning, Tatiana, Naima. First of all, I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to tell you that I have suffered many traumatic instances in my life. The main one was the death of my my mom and my 16-year-old niece from brain cancer. But when my mother died, I explained this to anyone who wanted to hear, and I'm telling the world, I was extremely suicidal. I was very depressed. Every morning I was waking up wondering, how am I going to kill myself today? Am I going to take pills? Am I going to slit my wrist? How am I going to do this? And my mom would always tell me that you don't have a right to take your own life, but it didn't matter. I was just extremely depressed, withdrawn. I wasn't talking to anyone because I felt like no one would understand what I was going through. And one of the elders where I worship at the Apostolic Church of God, she was an usher, and she saw me from a distance. And she said, she looked at me, and I was just different. I wasn't the person I was before, and that's what grief is. The person that you were before the person transitioned and the person you are now, in the grief industry, we call it a different normal. You are not the same person. You don't react the same way. Things that used to be important to you are no longer. Grief is heavy. It almost physically feels like someone's standing on your chest, like you can't breathe, like you can't catch your breath. You know, like you're hyperventilating. That's what grief is, a very heaviness. A lot of the young people in the city of Chicago, young people now are attending homegoing or funeral services of their peers.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a younger person in their family that died or was going through a sickness. Anything that you attach any type of feeling or emotion to, or any person, is considered a loss or a trauma, something that you weren't anticipating. So my story is that because I was so depressed and so suicidal, I had a person that paid attention to me and was able to listen. This is talk therapy, being able to express, what are you feeling? Why are you feeling this? I explained to Naima that when you experience a loss or trauma, it's almost as if you have a hole in your heart. And in this hole in your heart, there are various emotions. There might be guilt. What if I did this? What if I had said that? And I always say, if was a fifth of wish, we'd all be drunk. and you might feel sleeplessness, insomnia. You might eat too much. Some people do drugs team. Me, I withdrew. So with the young people today in the city of Chicago, I see the manifestation of their behavior because they don't have anyone to actually vent or talk out, again, talk therapy. So it is very important for us to, as teachers, say, reach one, teach one, for us to say, oh, we understand. Okay, what happened? I often, Naima, I will see a young person in Walgreens or Walmart, and I can just tell by their physical face or how they're talking, something happened. And all you can just walk up to them and just say, hi, what's going on? And then just start telling them your story. And you'll be surprised at how common it is for people who have experienced some type of trauma. And that's that person, that older person, that grabbed hold of me and sent me to school and paid for me to go to school to become a bereavement grief counselor. I cannot tell you how much that has changed my life to be able to help others. And so the young women that we have on our platform today, Tatiana, Latanya, Ariel,
LaToya
has stories. Tatiana has a story. They all have a story to share that will help others. So we open the floor for these wonderful women.
Yes. Well, Tatiana, let's start with you. You called yourself a crisis survivor. Tell us your story, what you went through, and how you managed to survive.
Well, for me, it was started when I was really young. The first thing that really happened to me that I could say traumatized me was witnessing my dad have an accident and lose his leg, which completely changed everything at home, like the way everything worked. And then, I did learn a very good lesson. He never gave up. He worked as hard as he did before his accident. So that was very, I guess, motivating, you could say. And then I also, a couple years after that, my nephew had an accident in our home, and he passed away. And that he was somebody I was very, very close to. So that was very traumatizing as well. And then lastly, I feel like the one that really, really traumatized me was seeing my dad pass away, because he was somebody very important to me. Honestly, I feel like if I didn't have my mom and my younger sister, I feel like I wouldn't be here right now, because they helped me a lot, and not just them, but my mom also, if she saw that I was struggling a little too much, my mom goes to therapy. She'd try to find me a group for therapy for me to go to, so I can get the help I needed. And she also just listened to me a lot, not telling me how to feel or telling me that I shouldn't feel a certain way. Instead, just being the ears that listen to me all the time. And same with my little sister. She never left me alone, always cheered me up. That's honestly the reason I'm still here.
That's a wonderful thing, because a lot of people don't have families that actually are there for them. Like Kathy was saying, Miss Kathy was definitely hitting the nail on the head when you talk about how we see young people acting out. A lot of them don't have family support. The number of young people that are homeless and don't have anybody because for whatever reason the elders are non-functional. So Tatiana, before we go to the next person, what are some of the things that your family said to you while you were going through the grieving process of your father and the trauma of watching the pain, of a loved one and not being able to, what kind of things did they say to you to help you feel okay?
I feel like my mom, she used to tell me everything happens for a reason. There's always a bigger reason for everything. And it's mostly she just listened to me, because sometimes I try to keep my emotions a lot in, but then when I do let them out, I kind of just babble on. So the major thing she did was listen. And same with my little sister. They just would always listen. be open-minded. They never judged what I said. They never, like, had any, anything or ever used it against me later on. Like, they always, like, what I said to them stayed with them, and then they just tried to help me the best they could.
So, Naima, I want to comment on what Tatiana just said. Tatiana said they listened.
Very crucial.
They listened to her. And remember what grief is. Grief is a personal reaction to a loss. Mm-hmm. It could be a loss of a job, a loss like with her dad, the loss of his limb. Her father, Tatiana's father, went through some serious grief.
Yeah.
And then, like Tatiana said, her nephew, he was only 5 years old, right, Tatiana?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was sharing with Tatiana, my niece was 16 years old when she was diagnosed with malignant brain cancer. When you have a young person that experiences grief or the loss, they need to be able to express what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And that's why we offer 24-hour counseling where the young people can call us at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to say, I can't sleep. I had a dream. I don't know I don't know how to deal with stuff. So there is help out there, but our people perish for lack of knowledge. When you know better, you do better. And so what we offer now, this just is going to open up a lot. I'm so glad that Ariel is there and Latanya's there to share their stories too. Thank you, Tatiana. Thank you so much.
We appreciate that. Definitely the listening is a crucial thing. And as you said, non-judgment. Let you say what you need to say and not say, oh, don't say that. Let you say it. Let you feel it. Let you be able to let it out. So now, Latoya, you are, you know, certainly an innovative person, founder of Women on the Move, work that you do. Give us a bit of your background and what you have experienced that led you to this point. Latoya, I think we've got some sound issues. Hold on, Latoya. We're not able to hear you. Check your mute on your – there you go. I think that's better. Okay.
Good morning.
There you are.
Okay. Latoya. Women on the Move is – it's to help women keep moving, keep striving, regardless of what life brings us. We have to keep pushing. We got to keep it moving. I have been in nonprofits for the last 16 years. I enjoy helping women that have had multiple struggles. So say like homelessness, being addicted, being incarcerated. I too once was incarcerated. I too once was addicted to alcohol. I wasn't making good decisions and good choices in my life. So, however, that led me down the wrong road. I thank God that I was incarcerated because that helped me to become the woman that I am today. I thank God for my church family. I thank God for my sons. I have two lovely sons. And I thank God for places like Family Rescue or an organization called Redemptive Hope, my church home, Apostolic Faith Church, Pastor Hannah, Bishop Brazier, all those people that pastors that's helping people in the world. So I came from a very I would say dysfunctional home. I was adopted at a young age. I was removed out of my mom's house because she she couldn't take care of me. I didn't know why she couldn't take care of me, but she took care of my other siblings. I didn't know if it was because I'm darker than my other siblings. So I struggled with low self-esteem. And what I did was to overcome that was I had to search the Bible for scriptures. So in Psalms 139, it says that, LaToya, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. I designed you in my image and in my likeness. You are my designer masterpiece. So it's scriptures like that that help me love myself again, that help me just know that I'm the king's daughter. And so I was introduced to alcohol. I started drinking at a very young age. And at the time, I had a boyfriend that's what he did. He drank breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I was like, oh, okay. In order for me to be down with him, I guess I got to drink too. So, mind you, at that time, I was about 20, 21, fresh out of high school. And I just saw my life just going downhill. And I'm like saying to myself, right, LaToya, you was raised in the church. Like, what are you doing? And so I was also drinking breakfast, lunch, and dinner, lost my job, and I was a very angry individual because I didn't know why things happened to me in my life. So I found myself always asking God, like, God, why you let this happen to me? Why? And now that I'm older, now I know why not you, LaToya? So everything that I went through in my life is to help the next person. So I just thank God for my life experiences. I know it, for some people, they may not understand that, but I thank him. Because if I hadn't went through what I experienced, then I wouldn't be in the place that I am today. So
that's a powerful story.
Thank God for my life, and I thank God for new opportunities. And I also know what it's like to be in a unhealthy relationship because I just transitioned from being in a very unhealthy relationship. So that means that I'm starting over. And I thank God for all nonprofit organizations like, let's see, there's St. Leonard's Ministries that help men and women turn their life around. Men and women that's coming home from being incarcerated. And then there's Grace House. Grace House is a shelter that also helps women get reunited with their children, just learn to love themselves, tap into their creative side.
Mm.
So.
Yes.
I just thank God.
Wow.
That's how I am.
Well, we certainly appreciate hearing that testimony for sure. It definitely lets us know that whatever you're going through, you can get through. We got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're coming to you, Ms. Bragg. So be ready. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. We've got the caller on in the on the switchboard, area code 331. It's going to come to you after we talk to our next guest, LaToya. I'm sorry, Ariel Bragg. And we will be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dupreeta Hadi, Director for the MCNRD, Model Community National Resource Directory. With the MCNRD four-step process to becoming a CWSC volunteer. Number one, go to CWSC.us. Number two, click the MCNRD tab. Number three, register as an individual or organization, nonprofit or for-profit. Number four, thank Allah, Panawata Allah, you are now a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD Directory, the Model Community National Resource Directory. Thank you so kindly, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Insha'Allah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
Business are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, duty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repairs, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sure how to do that. So,
Is that your cereal? Is that your phone?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay, that's, you're back.
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
That's better.
Thanks. Oh, as I said, I'm not at home. My laptop, they let me out work a little later, so I gotta
that pass. I understand.
Come on, Ariel. Come on with it, girl.
Recognizing that I can connect to my divine self or connect to nature, and I can you realize I'm very strong alone, and I can do it alone if I need to, not that I have to, but like I just say shit, I'm speaking my language, but I just say how I provided emotional support for others though during their traumatic situations is that sometimes people just want to be listened to. Sometimes people want solutions. Sometimes I let them cry. Sometimes I let people just yell, scream, cuss, and just sit there and let them just get it out. But I know one thing about me, I'm a solution-based person. So if you're going to come to me with a problem, you got to be ready for a solution. Mm. And I tell people, like, if you're not ready to hear a solution and you just kind of want to vent or cry more, that's fine. But come to me when you're ready for a solution as well, because you can't sit in the mud forever. Like, you got to come out. We got to blossom. We got to bloom. We can't just sit around. We can't. And I'm like, I feel like the way the world is set up, that's what they want. It's like they want people down. They want people struggling. They want people depressed. They put all this crazy stuff on TV to, you know, get people head. I just try to encourage people to read. Go read books. You know, just gain some intellect. Gain some intellect so you can stand out and just develop emotional intelligence and learn how to cut people off and stand on it. Somebody making you feel some type of way, cut them off and stand on it. Or if you're having a hard time cutting people off,
I think her screen. Hey,
Naima.
Yeah.
Oh, she said cut them off.
Yes.
Ariel is a survivor. But
absolutely. Yes, that's what it is.
And
surviving.
Everybody can be. I don't believe in. I don't believe in nobody. Like I got a friend right now going through a lot of stuff, and she is really angry. She's very, very angry. You know, she's dealing with a guy she ain't got no business dealing with. And I'm the friend. I'm not the friend that's just gonna sit there and I'm the friend that's gonna tell you tweaking. You being silly, you being stupid right now, you need to grow up, you need to knock it off, you need to cut it out. Like, I'm one of them friends. Everybody don't like hearing that.
Mm.
Everybody don't want to hear it. Everybody's not
some people are ready to hear it.
They don't like that. Like, nah, that need be stupid. Well, be stupid away from me, because I'm always come from a place of love. And if I care about you, I'm going to tell you the truth. And I don't have to know you well to care, because we're humans at the end of the day. So I don't have to know you personally to care. It's just part of, I just have humanity, but I'm that person, like, you need to knock it off. You being dumb right now. Like, you being stupid. And sometimes I'm gentle. It just depends on the mode. Sometimes I got to throw sticks and stones so they can feel it. Sometimes I got to make somebody cry and feel extra triggered. And it's like, they'll calm down and be like, you was right. It just depends. But I've never, nobody that's ever come across me as a friend or even a stranger on the street, nobody can ever say I didn't help them out or impact them, because I feel like if I can restore vitality in myself and I thought I was going to take myself out or somebody else was going to do it, then I can put vitality in somebody else, because everything's in me. So if I got vitality in me, I can get the same energy to you. It's how I look at my world, and just choosing peace over war. Choosing eternal peace over war.
Like
can't nobody get to me no more. And I just pray for more people and try to help more people to really, like, let go. Because I had a dream when I was a little girl. I was 11 years old, and I didn't get the dream until I got older. I was looking out the window, and my grandmother stayed up the street, and there were two escalators. There was one escalator symbolically going up to heaven, and one was symbolically going down to hell. Everybody going to hell had baggage and suitcases. Everybody going up had nothing. So I'm like, you got to lighten your heart, lighten your load.
You
can't carry baggage, because that is hell. Holding on to shit that hurts, that is hell. That is hell.
Wow.
That brings you
powerful
hell
dream.
Earth.
That's
what hell on earth is.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got to let go so you can get peace, so you can find your life, so you can have your divinity on earth. So it's like that dream sticks with me very heavy to this day. And it's like more and more, if I feel like I'm holding on to something too heavy, I really refer back to that dream. Like, nah, you got to let it go.
That's
going to weigh you down.
Yes. That's a powerful message, I tell you.
Mario, that was super, super fantastic, not just okay.
Absolutely. So before we take a call, and I might need everybody to mute their mics, and if they're not talking, just make sure we don't get any background noise. But I want to ask a question. Kathy, you know, Ariel said some things about how you have to respond to people when they come to you and they got a problem, and sometimes it's the same problem. And, you know, like in a bad relationship, and you know you need to leave, but you're not ready to leave. Just like she's been through that, you know, I'm not ready to let him go, even though I know people are going to say, look, why don't you leave this man alone?
Yes.
How do you know when to give tough love? You know, how do you know when to just listen, let people vent, and how do you know when to say, look, you need to grow up. This is stupid. You've been doing this over and over again. You know better. I mean, how do you know when to just, you know, be straightforward or just be gentle, let them vent?
I go back to my training. I've been through a lot of training on trauma and how to listen first. And then you have to respond in love. That's the answer. And Ariel, even, she's so awesome. Ariel's so awesome. Tatiana's so awesome. Latoya, you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you have people, they all have people or have met people that responded to them in love. Ariel said she had a friend that you know, and then Tatiana talked about her mom and her sister. Latoya talked about the love that she received from people. So how you respond to them, Naima, is in love. Before you open your mouth, just, you know, my grandmother would say, you get more bees with honey than you do with salt.
Mm. Yeah.
In other words, you can tell someone something, the truth. Now, I love Ariel. She keeps it raw, real. She doesn't sugarcoat anything.
It is what it is.
Ariel is like, I'm going to shoot from the hip. Even you know, if the shoe fit, tie that sucker up and wear, you know. So Ariel's response is super, super fantastic, not just okay. However, you know, I know I met so many people, especially young people, that go through some really bad relationships.
Yes.
I've met so many of them, and I always, Naima, respond to them in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I also tell them they have a 24-hour phone line that they can call, 773-256-4144.
Mm-hmm.
And we have counselors just standing by. It's free. They don't have to pay anything. They just call in, and people will listen and respond to them. Now, we will give them the suggestions if they ask. If they ask, we will give them suggestions, but we respond to them in love. 773-256-4144. So that's the answer, Naima.
We're going to put that number on the screen for those who are watching. And
yes,
we're going to take some calls also. So, young ladies, we appreciate you sharing so much. I'm sure we've got people who want to talk to you and understand where you got the strength from to survive. And I think we've got some comments here from our Facebook family. And Jody Susan Calhoun, our Tuesday morning host, she says, Grand Rising. Yes, thank you so much, Jody, for tuning in. And feel free to share your comments. And we're going to go to our phone lines. And, Kareem, before we take 331-271, then we're going to come back to our co-host and get your thoughts and anyone on your switchboard. But 331-271, you're live on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment. 331-271, unmute yourself. Go right ahead. 331-271. Unmute yourself. Okay, well, we are going to come back to you. And I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. Right ahead. 331.
331-274-727.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Rosalie. I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm Latoya's little sister, Latoya Wiseman's little sister. I just want to let you guys know that I was listening to everybody as far as with their testimony and stuff, and that gave me encouragement. I just want to, you know, I was going through a little situation in my life that my big sister has got me out of with prayer. So I was just listening, and that was very encouraging. I just wanted to say that.
Ah, well, Rosalie, we appreciate you joining us. Now, I've got a quick question for you because, you know, a lot of folks, sometimes their siblings, their family members are the ones they don't talk to because they're afraid of being criticized. What about your sister made you feel like you could turn to her?
Well, she, me and her talk on a daily basis every single day. I'm sorry, I'm on a bus, but I'm on my way to work. Me and my sister, we talk every single day. Every single day we talk on the phone. She tells me, you know, how you doing, sister? Every morning she gives me a quote from the Bible. She say, good morning, sister, we love you. Or she'll say, how's your day? And it's just like, it's very inspiring that I have a sister like that because from where we came from to where we are now and what we experienced, both experienced a lot of traumatizing stuff, that she never gave up on me. She never gave up on me. If I asked her, sis, you know, I'm trying to do this diet thing, or sis, I'm depressed, or sis, I'm stressed out, I need your help. She'll send me quotes, different quotes from the Bible. She'll give me quotes from YouTube, how to be on a special diet. She's very encouraging. I mean, I never met nobody like her that always, like, be on point with things and always answer her phone when I need somebody just to talk to and the ear to listen. She's always been there. So it's just like, she's a strong person from what I experienced. And I'm very encouraging as far as with, you know, just listening to everybody. Everybody go through stuff. I never knew, known that people, you know, they might don't say nothing or they don't have the face to show that they're going through something, but everybody has their way of their life experience. And I just want to thank you, everybody, for what you guys said. It's very encouraging what y'all said, and it very helped me. It really helped me.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We appreciate your testimony, for sure. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
You know, it's not always easy to know what to say, and sometimes, and thank you so much, Rosalie, for sharing what was done that made it possible. You know, that scriptural quote or that, you know, word of wisdom. You never know how that can change a person's day, and it's critical that we be sensitive and not condemning of people when they're going through a difficulty. And
yeah. Naima, you know what? That's what I call talk therapy.
Yes.
Talk therapy. Tatiana, LaToya, Ariel, they had someone they could talk to.
Yes.
That's why it's important to be able to let it out, because if you hold it in, it has to manifest itself somehow. It's going to come out.
Right.
Somehow.
Right.
A lot of young people is anger. They're just angry.
Yeah.
They have a short fuse. They feel disrespected. You know, older people, it might be withdrawal.
Yeah.
Or some people scream. Some people don't talk because grief is a personal reaction to a loss. It's your grief. And everyone, no two people grieve the same.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Naima, Tatiana, and LaToya and Ariel, the people that don't talk about their grief, they're grieving worse.
Right, right. Well, you know, they end up with that baggage that Ariel talked about, you know, straight to hell. Because that your life becomes a hell when you are holding on to things and you can't let it out. And you don't have anybody that you feel like you can talk to, because either people are responding to you like, oh, just, you know, suck it up. Oh, get over it. You know, and you can't get over it. You have to process it. You have to go through. You have to feel your emotions that you're going to feel and let yourself feel them so that you can let it go. But when you repress it, it just stays there. It's baggage that you're still holding.
Or it's like poison.
It's like poison
because you're holding it in, and then people say the wrong things. I'm sure, Tatiana, you've heard it, and I know, Ariel, you heard people say this. Even when Ariel's grandfather passed away, oh, he lived a long life, or he went to a better place. And Naima, I use it a lot in therapy when I'm talking to people. When people say stupid things or they say the wrong things, Tatiana, it's like that scene in the movie The Terminator, where the Terminator grabs the person by the throat and kicks them up in the air in the theater, like dangling. You want to just grab them by the throat, you know, and just strangle them, you know, and say, you know, how dare you?
Yes, I am grieving. I'm feeling sad. You can't make the sadness not be there, or like I shouldn't feel it. Or this one, when a woman maybe loses a child, maybe she has a miscarriage or a stillborn, and someone says, oh, you can have other children. And they mean well when they say it, but they don't understand. You are grieving the loss of that child, you know.
Parents are not supposed to bury their children.
Right.
That is not normal for parents to bury their children.
Right, they don't feel like
that. It's just like Tatiana's nephew that passed away at 5 years old. That mom was going through even worse than Tatiana and the other family members because he transitioned in the home.
Yes.
And that makes it even worse. So you got to be able to talk it through.
Right.
You got to talk out your feelings. You got to let it out because grief is personal.
Yeah.
It's your grief. That's why I got that. Naima, put that phone number on the screen, please.
Yeah.
Because I want people to be able to call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to say, you know what, I'm going through right now. I can't take it anymore, you know.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, I want them to get help. And it's not about any anything other than just helping each other, just like Rosalie's talked about, just talking it through, getting the feelings out so that you can be able to live like Ariel, super survivor.
So now give us that phone number again.
Yeah, 773-256-4144.
And that's
24 hours, 773-256-4144. You can just, I mean, we have counselors just standing by just to talk you, to help you process what you're feeling, because everyone doesn't understand grief. And remember, Naima, I don't know if anyone's out there has experienced the loss of, or someone they know where their parents died. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when my mom died, my I told you the story, Naima, my supervisor at the time, I made a mistake, because when you're going through grief, you're zoned out. You don't know, sometimes you forget what you're doing and you make mistakes and you're numb. You're just walking around, you know, like in disbelief, because grief, the initial stages, remember, Naima, I told you there is no expiration date for grief.
Right.
The initial stages, Naima, are 5 years. The initial.
Wow.
But there is no, yes. And so that's why, but anyway, let me get back to the story, you guys. I want you to get this. My supervisor, I made a mistake at work. My supervisor said, Kathy, I can't believe you made that mistake. You know better than that. Why did you make that mistake? My mom had died.
Mm-hmm.
The supervisor had a mother that was alive. And before I knew it, Naima, Tatiana, I told my supervisor I could care less about the mistake I made. My mother is dead.
Mm.
I got up, punched out for work. Well, Naima, remember I told you? A month later, his mom died.
Oh, he got it then, didn't he?
The supervisor came to me and said, Kathy, how are you dealing with it?
Mm.
We had a long talk session, Tatiana. And you know that supervisor took a leave of absence. I even remember I told you he never came back to work.
Wow.
Because men process grief differently than women.
Yeah.
A lot of men are very macho. I'm a man. I don't cry. And so that's why it's important, that number, that phone line is very important for even men to be able to process.
Right.
When I hear about stories on TV about someone committing suicide or hurting themselves, the first thing I say to myself, who was it that they loved that died?
Wow. That's critical. Well, we got to take another break. When we come back, I want to hear from our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and, of course, anyone else on your switchboard. But, Kareem, I want to ask you this question when we come back. How are men taught to deal with their pain and grief and sense of loss? Are they allowed to talk about it, or are they told to just suck it up, be quiet, be a man? And how does that make you feel when you can't talk? We'll talk about that when we come back. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will open your mic and get your thoughts as we talk today with our wonderful guests and look at the ways that we can be emotionally supportive of those who are going through a trauma. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, so stay with us.
There's a place where words make people. A place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted. From religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join. God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the community-wide serial conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And I think I accidentally put the wrong logo up at the beginning of the show. Also produced the show on Sundays, Three Black Moms. He's all the commercial for that, so you know what's happening early in the morning. Your brain doesn't always do everything right. But, yeah, but y'all know who we are. So thank you all for joining us. And we're back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we're going to pull Ariel up on the screen. I think she's ready to join us.
That's all right.
Okay, here we go. And Kareem, I'd like to give you a minute. I'd like to take a look at how we're telling our sons, our boy children, how to deal with issues. Because like Kathy was pointing out, you know, there are a lot of young people and an extraordinary amount, an abnormal amount of young people who are going to the funerals of their peers, a lot of young people that are dying violently, a lot of things that are happening to young people that should not be happening to young people. And I know, and I think I may have told the story before, I won't tell it again because I've told it a couple times, but basically the bottom line is that a lot of these killings that we see, the retaliatory killings that happen after that, it's really grief that's being expressed. You know, someone gets killed and then their friends go out and go after the person who did the killing, or they suspect of doing the killings, in the process of trying to shoot at somebody, they end up killing, you know, someone else. And a lot of these things are really stem from unprocessed grief. And if you don't let your children express the pain that they're feeling and cry, then it comes out sometimes in violence. So, Kareem, what have you observed in terms of what message we're giving to our young people, particularly our young men, when it comes to how to deal with grief when you're going through a trauma?
Yes, we have to. Yes, first off, welcome your honored guest, and we are grateful for the information that they are sharing with us. Very valuable, very critical, very crucial for our human existence. I've noticed that with everyone that spoke, the first advice was to listen. To listen.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure we have heard people say, no one is hearing me. No one hears me. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. I'm quite sure we have seen someone or experienced this here whereby you are expressing something that is important to you. And the person that you're speaking to, they are looking off somewhere. They're fidgeting with something, you know. They don't have your full attention, your full attention. Mm. When meeting with someone that are expressing a traumatic occurrence in their life, that is very important. That is their reality. How one feels is real. It is real.
Yeah.
I can't say, well, you don't feel like that. I don't have the capacity to know that. But to show concern, it's very important, the level of show how much you care. You care. When someone is speaking with you, especially on issues like this, and they have faith in your confidentiality, that you are a trustworthy person, then they will readily open up. And for those of us that are involved with trauma, we should give that person your undivided attention. That shows that you care, and to talk your way through trauma. Sometimes we'll just express the surface of trauma, but as you have just said, there is always an underlying cause for trauma. There's an underlying cause. There's something that occurred. It may have occurred early in their life as children, and we know we come from a era whereby by we was taught that children were to be seen and not heard. That's very damaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they should just suck it up and bury that. When it's buried, it's still there. It's inside. And when it presents itself, it may present itself in a very negative way like we are experiencing with our youth today. You know, here is my advice to those of us. Now, look, I included myself that have experienced trauma. One of the healing properties of trauma is, believe it or not, it is extending charity to someone else, service work, helping someone else. When you do that, that elevates your self-esteem. That elevates your own personal worth for yourself. It takes you outside of yourself in a negative way, but takes you inside in a positive way. We must deal with the underlying issues of trauma. The service work or meeting neighborly needs. Our scriptures mention neighborly needs. The needs of your neighbor.
I think your sound went out for just a quick second. Okay.
All right. There's so much more to say on this issue, but being sensitive. You know, as males, we are acculturated to not be sensitive. That is what makes us human, that we have emotions and we have sensitivities. So it's very traumatic when someone has to bury something that is very troubling to them. And it presents itself later on, but sometime in a most negative expression. So first, show that you care. Be willing to listen, not always giving advice, but only if asked. Only if asked. Some people, all they want is just, will someone just listen to me? So be that confidant and show a real interest in what they are sharing with you. So if there is a remedy that I would offer, meeting neighborly needs, doing a charitable act, helping someone else, it lifts our personal esteem, our personal worth, how we feel about ourselves. We have value. Praise be to Almighty God. So, I was talking with my daughter yesterday, and we were speaking of mental health. And I expressed to her, for real, in this country here, it's like a large insane, you know. And none of us have escaped the negative ramifications of going through this life. But to be caring and understanding and be willing to for someone to share their confidence with you, and they feel very confident in speaking with you, I think that goes a long way to listen. That was the first advice I heard everyone say. Was
listen. Right. Yes. Well, thank you for that. Yes.
Brother Kareem.
Yes.
Brother Kareem, you mentioned something about.
We might need to.
Is that me?
That's
a buzz.
I can't hear. It's very distorted. The reception is very distorted.
Okay. Now it's better. Brother Kareem,
yes.
When you were talking about listening and hearing, I thought about, as a bereavement grief counselor, we refer to it as the peeling of an onion. Mm. You know how the onion has a hard shell and you have to peel away the layers?
Yeah.
To get to the core, Brother Kareem?
Yes.
And as you listen to someone sharing or just talking and you're listening and not saying anything, it's like peeling away the layers of that onion.
Yeah.
So true.
To the core, like Nightingale's talking
about. Right, right. Because eventually, the more they talk and the more they trust you, the more you listen and allow them to talk and let them speak without being condemned or interrupted and say, I don't want to hear it, you know, but let them get it out.
Yeah,
and then
especially young
more.
People, Brother Kareem, young people, and even with men, men that I have counseled whose wives have transitioned, I just let them talk so that they will feel comfortable. Because young people are not going to open up if they don't feel that they can trust you.
Right.
That's right.
Super survivor, Ariel.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
If they feel like I can't trust you, you cannot fool a young person. They're not falling for the okie doke, right? Right.
Right.
That's
right. Right. Yeah. And you know something else you mentioned about listening and men and women, because men often aren't encouraged to just speak and not be criticized for their feelings, and sometimes women we don't mean to say the wrong thing, but you know, in our haste to give our opinion or correct, we might say a thing that makes men feel bad. And so they shut down rather than share with us how they're feeling. So we've started something here, which Brother Kareem has just been brilliant in hosting. Every fourth Wednesday, we have a men-only discussion where the men can talk among themselves, very sensitive issues, everything from how they feel about fatherhood and raising children to handling grief to challenges, to economic challenges, to the social challenges of racial injustice. They can talk about how they feel about it. And we, the women, we're here listening, but we don't interrupt the conversation. And we give them the feeling of talking among themselves without being judged by women who can sometimes say things that make it worse because we're being critical and we're not understanding that they need to be able to talk about being sad, grieving, being angry, and to not feel like women are judging them or looking down on them because they're expressing their true feelings. So we allow them that time to talk among themselves, and we've learned some things that our job is to listen, just listen, so we can learn. So we can become more sensitive, so we can understand how men are experiencing the society differently than we are.
Men have testosterone.
Yeah, they got that, and they got that anger that will well up,
They process process emotions totally different from women.
Yeah,
women, we're more nurturing, more softer, but men are, you know, kind of stoic. They're strong. So, you know, again, I say our people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
When you know better,
you
know better.
Right.
You know sometimes what we call strong is not strong.
Mm.
It's a weakness. You have heard it all, just man up. Or either in the presence of women, like it or not, we are very sensitive to influence them, So we believe that they believe that we should not show any softness, any emotion,
mm-hmm.
any caring. That is a big mistake, that we treat each other like that. That men are not allowed to feel. Come on now. And I'm grateful, having spoken with men, that we lower our guards, get rid of the ego, get rid of that alpha male concept. Do not embellish. Just tell the truth about whatever our concerns are. We're talking with each other. There's no one else here. And it's all right to feel. It's all right. It's all right. Look, Almighty God says to us in the Quran that it is he who gave man laughter and tears. Those are two extreme emotions. Now, if God gives you a gift, know that there is benefit in that. There's benefit in the gift that he has given us. But if you're not allowed, terrible, inhuman situation to be in, you know,
when children are born, and I always use an analogy that they're like blank pages of a book.
Yeah.
What you write on the pages, Brother Kareem, is what the child becomes. And with men and with women, if men are raised in an environment, like I was sharing with Tatiana, my biological father was extremely abusive. Remember I told you, Tatiana? He made six figures. He made a lot of money. And on the outside, he was the most angelic person in the whole wide world. But behind closed doors, he was a monster.
And he probably had a lot of repressed rage.
Yes, and because but his dad, I found out later that his father was an alcoholic.
It gets passed down generation to generation.
Generation from generation. Let
me ask, because we've got women who are kind of a younger generation.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that things have changed. Maybe we've evolved out of that, but maybe we haven't. So let me start with you, Tatiana. The men in your generation, do they still try to hold on to that macho thing? I'm not supposed to cry. I want to make sure women know I'm strong and I don't show any emotion. Or are they encouraged to be more sensitive? What have you observed?
I feel like it depends. Like sometimes I feel like when you're one-on-one with the guy, they're completely different than when they're with like all their friends. Because when they're with all their friends, they're a completely different person. They can't laugh at certain things. They can't say certain things. And it's like, how are you going to let your friends like dictate how you act, how you feel? Like at the end of the day, they're not the ones going home and dealing with you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're so scared of what other men think rather than just caring about what they think and, like, the people around them who actually care for them and want them to see them doing good, care, like, what they care about.
Mm.
But, yeah, it just depends, kind of. Like, if you're one-on-one with somebody, they're more likely to be, like, open about their emotions and stuff like that. But if you, like, get them with their group of friends, it's hard. It's way harder to get them to say what they actually mean. They're a completely different person.
I've seen that. So, Ariel, you look like you've observed that as well. What do you see in men today? Are they being encouraged to be more sensitive? Or are they still feeling like they got to put up that macho front, especially from their friends?
Personally, I feel like because I've changed so many of my ways, I respect certain type of men, and I don't entertain certain type of men. I really watch who I deal with, but I will say, for the most part, well, I'm 32, so I usually say probably my age range. I'll go up to 40, but I'm like, even with the differences, I'm like, the ones I've met so far, I've met a couple of immature ones, you know, you want to still be play on the side and act like they not. And I can't respect no lies like that. So, you know, it's really easy to cut them off. Or you got, you know, they, like, I feel like older men are more affectionate and emotional.
They're probably more confident in themselves.
I feel like they're more emotional and affectionate than younger men. And even the intimacy is different. So I'm just like, it's different. It's like a second puberty.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think as men get older, they become more confident in who they are. And so you don't see a lot of the game playing. Now, that player thing, and I want to look at that for just a second, because I think that tends to be a mask for men who don't want to express real emotional intimacy with a woman. So they've got relationships that are very.
A lot of them be worried about what other men think.
Yeah, yeah, they want to impress other men.
Talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I mean, okay, the guy I'm talking to right now, for example, he went his friend. I'm like, oh my god.
Totally different.
Look at these men right here. But I'm like, they all got their own businesses. They all getting it together, got it together. They got connections, so it's like. And they were protective. So like, it was a different vibe for me personally. And, you know, what I'm even talking about now, even for me right now, like, I hope it turned out good instead of third.
Yeah.
So, and even put, like, and I say, too, I'm going to say, I've always been, like, a smart woman, but, you know, I still have a lot of immature ways. And I feel like the more mature I became and the more intellectual I became, the more I chose to feed myself more knowledge, I started just attracting different conversations, and it just be different stuff going on. So it's like, and I don't really hang where most women hang. I hang out different, you know. I'm still like getting my finances and stuff together, but I'm like, I move different, you know. I don't entertain certain types of men, but I'm like, I don't think all men are bad, or I don't believe in that. I'm like, it's some decent men out there, but I feel like a lot of women, they lack a lot of emotional regulation, and they don't want to listen. They don't. It's like to me, if a man, if he know where he going in life, if he going down the right path, and he got direction, he can lead you. So it's like, if you, and it's like a lot of them look at it as being controlling from a man who got it together versus being guided.
Different.
I'm like, you know, masculine energy is the sun energy, is light energy. You want to follow the goddamn light. That's what you want to do. That's what you need to be doing. Like, if he is going down the right path, I'm like, women will find themselves in these situations with men where they, and even just personally speaking, will find themselves in certain situations with men because they're more infatuated, you know, than knowing his character as a man. Because I'm like, a lot of women don't look for character.
They don't know. They don't know how.
They look for sex and money. Because
they don't know. And that's kind of a trait when women don't have that father figure that defines for them what to look for in a man. And so they
feel like everybody matters. They own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, me and my daddy, you know, I love him. I don't feel like he was emotionally there enough for me, so I had to really figure it out for myself. I didn't get praises a lot from him. Like, I felt like I should have.
Yeah.
So it's like, he was around financially, but, like, for me mentally and everything else, no. And, you know, so I had to figure me out, and I had to deal with watching him put his family on a pedestal, you know, because I'm like, I got some aunties who, they doing things. I just found out one of my aunties, you know, I probably can't even say, but I'm going to just say she's doing some big things out there, and it's like, Ain't nothing wrong, you know, with putting your people on pedestal. But I'm like, anytime I had an idea, wanted to do something, it was always something negative behind it. Or you can't really do that, or you can't really get no money doing that. Like, shot a lot of my goals and stuff down. So, you know, I had to really learn how to figure me out a lot growing up. So it's like, where I'm at now, and I'm learning, and I'm like, I could have took that experience and allowed that to make me attract the same type of man and my father, you know, and be just constantly going through disappointment. And that's not what I want for myself. I'm like, I don't have to live out that story, and I'm not. But I'm like, I in my personal experiences since I've been older, I'm like, I think there's a lot of decent men out there.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of them are changing their approach too, because they're maturing and they're realizing that being sensitive is being strong.
And a lot of them just, I meet some guys with some interesting hobbies.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of guys with interesting hobbies, even my own, like, friends who I just meet out. I'm like, I know a lot of guys with interest in boxing or, you know, martial arts tournaments or just stuff, you know, masculine stuff. I say
masculine
stuff.
Yeah, but not toxic masculine. Yeah.
And, you know, doing stuff like that. So I'm just like, it's a lot of decent men out here. I think a lot of women just...
They have to know how to look.
Yes.
I think people are seeking a perfection that don't exist when you just have to work at each other and realize you're compatible and stop listening to outside sources.
Right.
So you gotta work for you and y'all. Everything don't work for everybody.
That's true.
Another thing, Ariel, is that women like Tatiana, Latoya, and you, Ariel, you have to work on you.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's everything.
Before you can give yourself to any male species.
Right. Right.
You have to know who you are.
Well, you know what? I want to explore that when we come back and. We got to take our last break. And then, Latoya, I want to go back to something that you said regarding self-esteem, because when your self-esteem low, there's another kind of person that you attract. You attract what you feel about yourself on the inside. So we're going to talk about how that experience can manifest into following the wrong kind of person and doing damaging things to yourself because you don't feel good about yourself, maybe because you're – parents or the people in your environment gave you negative feedback or didn't listen to you and make you feel worthy of good treatment. So we'll take a look at that.
Naima, can we also have Tatiana comment on our relationships too for young people too?
Absolutely, because they struggle with that.
You can say, Tatiana.
and we got three callers on the line. I think we had four. Yeah, it would press one if you're on our switchboard now. We got three we'll take after the break also. 773-530 and 336-350 coming to you next after the break, and we'll be right back. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after these brief messages, so stay with us.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things and take them on little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated. So they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older and I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show how a young lady should be treated.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Pitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you, and have a pleasant day.
Fill the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
We thank you all so much for what you are sharing. We've got some callers that have been holding on. I know they have some questions and comments. We got five folks on the switchboard, so we're going to get through all of y'all. So everybody just make sure you keep in mind you got folks following you. Give us your questions or comments. And let's go. I'm going to take you in this order, 336-350-331. I think you've already spoken. 773-530-312-833. And 773-977, it'll also come back to you, 331-271, in case you got other comments as well. So, 336-350, the floor is yours. Unmute your mic, give us your name, for those who don't know who you are, and give us your question or comment for our guest.
Dr. Lateef, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. It's our dear Mama AZ.
Greetings, family.
Good morning, Mama AZ.
I just wanted to get that number.
Yes,
and thank you for your wisdoms, Brother Kareem. That number, I didn't have a pen, but I do now, and I'll mute. What is that number again that the young lady said call anytime? What's the number?
773-256.
Okay, wait, babe. Wait, slower, baby. Slower. You said 773?
Yes, ma'am. 2-5-6.
Okay, 2-5-6. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. 4-1-4-4.
Okay, let me read it back. 773-256. 4-1-4-4.
Yes, ma'am.
That's it.
All right, thank you, baby. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ma'am.
I'll mute.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mama AZ. For those who didn't have a pen and paper at the time, that number again is 773-256-4144. You can call 24 hours for counseling.
Yeah.
So make sure you use that number if you know you need to talk to somebody who will listen. So 773-530, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Yes, this is AMG Peace God, King Shalom Israel, here in Chicago, New Mecca, province of Illinois. Can you hear me?
Yes, and give us the name again. I'm pull up on the screen.
Yes, that's AMG Peace God. Peace God. P-A-C-E, capital G-O-D.
All right, I got you. All right. AMG.
Yes, and it was various, you know, you guys were flowing, you know what I mean? So I love the flow. In addition to it, I was pressing, you know, one back-to-back, you know what I mean? I'm a new listener, you know what I mean? So shouts out to the new listeners, you know what I mean?
Thank you.
You know, shouts out to the Hale Washington Foundation, you know what I mean? Minister Plump, I mean, for enlightening me to this beautiful, this gem that I'm looking to pass around for people to, you know, have a place to chime in and also receive the good knowledge, wisdom, understanding that you guys are bringing on the airwaves. I hope to be a part of that enlightenment. I mean, look forward to possibly coming in physically and whatnot, getting more involved. In addition to it, I had plenty of feedback, you know, to the women, Brother Kareem, few comments that the women were speaking on about the men, you know, being different when they're with their friends and versus being different from when they're one-on-one with their women or whatnot. And I know that that's coming from a symptom of not being able and also being afraid for men to be themselves. One thing I noticed in this generation is that we're shunned and not really allowed, and it produces a fear when we're out, you know what I mean, with amongst friends. I don't have this, you know what I mean, this issue, but I do notice amongst my brothers, we're afraid to be ourselves, you know, due to the conditioning, the programming of, you know, us just coming out and being given a category, being given a slot to fit in, you know what I mean, and not being able to have these outlets of expression. You know, like Brother Kareem said, and I remember I had a guidance counselor. She was a woman, and her name was Miss Jordan. And I never forget her expressing to me how strong I was, and you know what I mean, her also expressing how weak, you know what I mean, that I was. And you know what I mean, for me that was like a grand shocker. You know what I mean, one of the things is like you said, having the circle or having the support to be able to trust, meaning confidentiality, you know what I mean, being able to trust who we're speaking to and things of that nature. So society is not, you know, we don't have a lot of these outlets that like you providing right now, you know what I mean, for us to, you know what I mean, give our voice, give our feedback, as well as get expression. So, you know, one of the things that Brother Kareem was expressing, or I believe one of the brothers was, you know, speaking on that being a weakness. But me, myself, you know what I mean, I find, you know, being alone and not having anyone to talk to and, you know, anyone to, you know, hear and give positive feedback, that produces a reaction, like you said, a violent reaction. You know what I mean? I'll never forget, once again, when I was enlightened to my strength being a weakness, I'll never forget, you know, me not having anyone. See, the thing about it is when you give in to those feelings and you express those feelings, you know what I mean, when you have no one, there's no one to pick you up, you know what I mean, from feeling those feelings. And I'll never forget, I was cool with my mother's passing. My mother passed away, I believe, like 6 months ago or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of, you know, I was taking it, you know, like you said, I with a numbness. And it wasn't just a numbness. I was just, you know, she was like, you created this character, Peace God. And I was enlightening her, well, you know, Peace God is, you know, the person I became due to, you know, me not acknowledging my own feelings per se. Right. You know what I mean? And I'll never forget describing to her, you know, to tap into those feelings, it brings me, you know, so low, and it brings me so, you know, vulnerable to the point where, you know, I tried what the counselor said. She said, you know, give in to those feelings. And I was like, man, you know, I know how that feels, and there's no one to pick me up from that feeling. I don't know if you can attest to it. You know what I mean? When you get in this state of, like, depression, when you get in this state of, like, emotionalism, it's like, you know what I mean, nothing happens. You know what I mean? Nothing happens. You know what I mean? Your days is slower. Your days is, you know what I mean, where, you know, you're not really producing, you know what I mean, anything. You don't want to do anything or whatnot. So I never like to let myself get to that point or whatnot, because I have no one to pick me up from that lowness. And I was explaining that to her, that my strength has become my cure, my remedy or whatnot. You know, like you say, I go and help other people or whatnot without another thing that Brother Kareem was pointing out without knowing how to express those feelings. You know what I mean? It's one thing to feel, but it's one thing to know how to process what you feel. You know what I mean? I believe that's another, you know, part of the remedy and solution that we have outlets that can teach us as men, as women, you know what I mean, how to process these feelings. Because as I started to process the feeling, it produced a violent reaction, you know what I mean, to the point where, you know, I actually ended up, you know, attempting, you know what I mean, to go out and harm another, you know what I mean, due to, you know, the passing of my mother. So, you know what I mean, I thank God that, you know, he allowed me to be intercepted instead of catching the body. I caught a charge, you know what I mean, and it was the most blessed feeling, you know what I mean, for that weight to come off me. And it was due to the passing of my mother, you know what I mean? But when that firearm, you know what I mean, just being frank, you know what I mean, this is what we're dealing with, you know what I mean? So I represent the youth and whatnot, bridging that gap. So I'm letting you know, like, you know, this is exactly what's going on out here. Like you said, not knowing how to process the feelings and not knowing how to cope with it, you know what I mean, and to process it, you know what I mean? And also having that confidentiality support system or whatnot, you know what I mean, that you can speak on these things. And, you know what I mean, this is all a part of the solution, you know what I mean, because I didn't know the other side of grieving. I didn't know, you know what I mean, walking out to the grave site and taking your shoes off and grounding yourself, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. grounding yourself around your ancestors and things of that nature. I didn't know anything about, you know, planting a plant, you know what I mean, in symbology or in remembrance of your loved one, you know what I mean, and toggle to that plant and whatnot. So these are some of the solutions and some of the, you know, things that I've stumbled across in my experience. I didn't know the other side, you know what I mean, where there's light and grieving, you know what I mean. So that is something that needs to be expressed, needs to be known. That we have solutions and things of that nature for men or whatnot. But I know once again nowadays, you know what I mean, just to be short, nowadays we're afraid to be ourselves and we're taught to hone our emotions and feelings. So you know what I mean, right. I hope that you know,
we thank you for sharing yours today. We definitely thank you for sharing that thought, because so many young men are not encouraged to feel, and you have to go through the emotions. Ignoring them won't make them go away. Like you mentioned, they just manifest somewhere else, sometimes in violence. Yes, there's a depression, and I think, what was it, 5 years? Kathy, you said
the initial grieving process is 5 years, but there is no expiration date on it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if 10 years pass and you're still sad, you know, don't feel like a failure. Oh, something wrong with me. You know, you have to feel what you're feeling. And like you mentioned, some things that people can do, and Brother Kareem mentioned, if you help someone else, that helps you get over the grief. You're actually being in service to someone else, it does help alleviate the grief. And like you mentioned, some things, even, you know, visiting the gravesite, walking on the earth, grounding yourself, as you say, you know, I mean, there are things that help release the stress and actually change you biochemically so that you can get rid of the depression, because depression is a biochemical reaction in your body.
Well, you know, we talk about that in the grief industry, that everyone processes grief differently.
Differently, yes. And thank you so much, brother. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Everyone processes grief, and there are triggers. Like I was telling Tatiana, you might see someone that reminds you of the person that transitioned or died, and it brings it right back to the day that they died.
Yeah.
Or you might smell a certain food. You might hear a certain song. The closer you get to that person's birthday or holidays, everything's different. And in the grief industry, I, as a counselor, I tell people you are a different normal.
Right.
The person you were before and the person you are now, Tatiana, Aria, LaToya, you are a different normal. You're not the same.
Right.
You're never going to be the same, but you need to know how to go through it. But we got other calls. I'm sorry.
Well, let's go through. We'll even get to the next four. 312-833. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment. 312-833.
Way on Yah Shalom. Yes, this is Brother Minister Plump. Way on Yah Shalom.
Yeah, thank you, Minister Plump, for that reference to a new caller. Thank you so much. We appreciate you for spreading the word.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, well, I'm glad that Cassie gave out the number again. You know, we in it to win, 773-256-4144. And
yes,
that's in the door. And also, I wanted to make sure, Brother Kareem, we love you. You know, you got the best co-host in the world, Sister Lisa.
In the world.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. And I just want to share the thought of, development. Leadership meeting tomorrow, we'll be at Lake Grove Village, which is 3515 South Cottage Grove, from 2 to 4. And that's also for atonement and for prosperity. And for more information, brothers and sisters can get in touch with me, Minister Plump, at 312-833-0475. This is my new number, Sister Naima. I'm trying to
lock it in
my
phone.
Old number back.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'll lock it in, I got
work.
You.
And thank God for the female solution. It's everything with you and nothing without you. We love you.
Yes, sir. We love you too, brother. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much for your information. And we're glad to know that leadership is meeting to address a lot of things. And I hope, as many have worried about the violence that's happening, if we can just listen to those who are expressing their feelings in violence, we will probably find a lot of underlying grief. And they're people who need counseling. Well, let's finish our calls. I want to make sure I get everybody a chance to speak. 773-977. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments today.
Well, good morning and glory be to God. This is Lois in Chicago, Illinois, and I just want to just thank God for everyone today. Oh, it's such a blessing just to be alive. We have five guest ladies here today, or four. How many do we have today?
Yeah, four young ladies, and then myself and Brother Kareem. So it's six of us that have been talking.
The four young ladies, number one, two, three, four. May I ask all of them a question, please?
Yes, we're going to hope they can all get through it a bit. If you can answer a question in like 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Person number one, are you married?
Well, everybody can answer that one. Yes, no, married?
I'm asking number one. Just number one. No? Okay, do you have any children?
Well, everybody said no, but yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Do you have any children?
No.
Number one?
No.
Number two, do you have any children? Number three? Any children?
LaToya.
LaToya, you
are you?
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Make sure I got this.
LaToya has
a
child?
Yeah,
okay,
LaToya.
And what about number four?
We got to get that call in. Next question.
We make sure we get everybody.
Okay, I just wanted to know, was there any change in your life that you went through, that you experienced, especially the ones who had children, that you feel you could have done differently or you would have done the same?
Oh, okay. LaToya, anything different you would have done?
I know for me, I should have paid attention to the signs. I ignored the signs. All the signs were there, and I totally ignored them.
Ariel?
Nope, it wouldn't change nothing.
All right.
I was in jail with my baby pregnant, so.
Oh, wow.
Another story.
That's the whole show we need to do. Yes.
We got to have another show. We gotta have another show. Ariel, Tatiana, and I, we want to gather and have our
Yeah, I think next month we're going to
Thank God for all of you. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Let's have another show. I'd appreciate it. God bless.
Yeah, and Kareem, yes, go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Young people ask this question, which is a hint to us. Do you feel me?
Yeah.
I feel you, man.
Do you feel me? Which,
yeah.
Do you feel me? You feel me? You know, which means you comprehend. Can you see life from my perspective? Can you stand in my shoes? Do you feel me? Yeah, that's a powerful question, isn't it?
Well, that's how come we got to have another show, because we got Ariel. You got to hear that story, Ariel.
Yeah, we're for sure.
Okay, so are we gonna, do we have
we got one more caller, 773-450. We got about 30 seconds to squeeze you in. Go right ahead with your comment, your question. Go right ahead, 773-450.
Good morning, Grand Rising, and also I'm looking to the brothers and sisters. It's a matter of my program. I love it. You know, the programs help our people search within themselves and find the better part of themselves, and then they can move forward. We have to forgive each other, and we have to, you know, you make mistakes, just simply make mistakes and then improve upon yourself. This program is not necessarily about blaming anybody. It's about enlightenment and improvement. And I appreciate it, because so much of what you personally can find out, you can hear the same thing from other people. And that goes to just show you what you really just want. Because I find the deeper you dive within yourself until you hit the chi, once you hit that, we're all equal. The person's got money, or the person is poor, the man on the street, the one in the alley, we're all the same.
Yes, we are.
I may have a little more money or have more knowledge than the next man, but I have to help the next person who doesn't have what I need. That's what it's all about. We have to change the whole paradigm from a society of competition into a society of teamwork.
Absolutely.
Let's do that.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you so much for those words of wisdom. Absolutely. Well, we only got a minute left to go. Let's see. We'll make sure I put this phone number back on the screen. And I definitely want to thank our guests who have...
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to hear Tatiana and Latoya again and Ariel.
Yes.
Okay, you guys, do you agree we need another show?
Yeah, definitely need another show. So we will be on in probably another month. We'll have you all come back. And
that number needs to be put up.
And let me put this number up, and we've got our Monday host. I think we got an echo here. I'm not sure. Zelda from the HLN TV show says, "Great show, ladies. Thanks for sharing your expertise." And let's put this phone number back up so that people can call 24 hours to get help, because we want everybody to be emotionally healthy, and that is 773-256-4144. That's 773-256-4144. Call 24 hours.
It's free
counseling. People will listen.
A lot of the counselors are there for you guys.
Standing by, listening. Thank you so much. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Kareem Hamid. Thank you to the American Muslim 360 family for listening in, all who called in and lent their expertise, their stories. Thank you.
Stumble down the stairs.
bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls will keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life, for the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life, and all the things he's given you that makes your life, for the warm rays of sunshine. And the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cubs, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for less than me. But they gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives, and all the things he's given them that make their life, for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful.
the warm rays of sunshine, darker by the night, friends that last forever and their children and their wives.
We invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Halal Industries. It airs from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by our beloved Imam Wali Ayub Bilal and James Bashir. Also, we invite you to tune in to Narrative Aspirations. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is hosted by Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz. Alhamdulillah, the program director for American Muslim 360. We leave you with degrees of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. I'll see you on the other side.